World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
And July 1st. How can that be? How can it be July 1st? I remember when I was a kid, when I heard my dad one time say, well, you know, summer's about over once 4th of July gets here. And boy, that's almost true. Even though, you know, summer just began 9 days ago, and it's July 1st, and July 4th is going to be here, and that whole weekend's going to be gone. And man, oh, man, oh, man, that's why the Bible says work while the sun shines, because it day cometh when no man can work, brother. And what a time to be alive. What a time to be alive. The closing on the property went through. We now are in possession of this sky high right next door to me. And every time I go up there, and I was up and back there several times this weekend, the potential is almost overwhelming. And if you guys want to pray for something out there, just pray that the Lord will direct us on what we're supposed to do with this thing. It's just a remarkable, remarkable place. More I've been into it, and open the windows, let some air get in there. And I got Craig here today and his friend Tommy have already come in to start doing some work. I didn't even ask him to come. They just showed up. We got a lot of stuff. So just be praying for us on that thing, man. That's a big thing. I wanted to start out today in kind of a lighthearted. Hey, Jared, pull up there if you can for me real quickly. Because I hear from folks all the time who say, something's happening here. Something's happening here, folks. There's something going on. There's something really, really, not just here at Coach Dave Live, Pass the Salt Ministry, whatever you want to. There's something going on, man. How about this one? I remember this song. I feel it in my fingers. I feel it in my toes. Love is all around me. Remember that song? There's something going on, folks. There's something going on. John Roberts is a sellout. We're now beginning to see that the deep state is in possession of John Roberts, the Supreme Court Chief Justice. Deep state owns him. I don't know what the reason is. There's a lot of speculation as to why it might be. But the deep state is a deep state, boys, and we have to all realize that any of those people who are in positions of power did not get there on their merits, okay? There's no way that you get there on your merits. If you stop and think, how would you get the attention of the President of the United States for you to be appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court? Who would be making that decision? Who would be the guys lower down the rung who are vetting potential candidates that would all of a sudden bring a list of five people? Who would be doing that? And what would be the philosophy they would have? And why would they choose this guy? Why is it on the Supreme Court right now? There is, as I've told you before, 5 Roman Catholics, 3 Jews, and is it Gorsuch? One of those new guys is an Episcopalian. No evangelifish. No evangelical Christians. As far as I know, as harsh as this might sound, there are zero Bible-believing Christians on the United States Supreme Court. Now, I don't mean that Catholics aren't Bible believers, but as a guy who grew up in a Catholic church, I was never told, ever encouraged to read the Bible. Catholics may have biblical understanding and biblical beliefs, but they don't know the word. By the way, neither do most evangelifish know the word anymore, either, right? So we have guys on the Supreme Court who are not going to rule in the rule of God, rule of law. They call them originalists, right? Clarence Thomas, the closest thing we have to a guy who's originalist. Everybody else makes it up as they go. We just saw that President Trump administration wanted to put on the census, one question is, are you a U.S. citizen? What? That question can't be on the census? Are you a U.S. citizen? Who's the deciding vote in that? Well, that wasn't dead Ruth Bader Ginsburg. We don't even know if she's still alive, do we? It wasn't her, although we know how she voted. But her good buddy John Roberts voted with her. Yeah. John Roberts voted with Kagan and Sotomayor and the three women, basically, the three women on the court, and then that was a Breyer still left there. And Roberts sided with those guys. We can't even have a question on the census as to whether or not you're an American citizen. Something's happening here, folks. Hey, Jared, pull that up there for me. I got yakking, and I forgot where it's heading. I want to get that up here real quick. I was going to play the song, but if I play the song, they'll ban us. So I just want you to read down through this. Remember that song? This was from Buffalo Springfield, and it was one of the anthems of the 70s. There's something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop. Children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Think so? Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Or how about we could put it the other way? Nobody's wrong if everybody's right. Young people speaking their minds, getting so much resistance from behind. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. 1,000 people in the streets singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say, hooray for our side. How some things never change, right? It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Paranoia strikes deep. Into your life it will creep. It starts when you're afraid. You better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Yeah, it's been going down quite a while, folks. I got a lot of stuff I could share with you today. I'm going to try to get my mind right and get back to where I was headed. Let me get my stuff up here, and then maybe I can get myself focused. Anybody got a reaction here? Anybody got any news over the weekend?
Well, that's just ridiculous. Once again, we have laws dictating that our truth is not really true.
Right. Well, how's that happening? Well, there's enemies within the camp, baby. There's enemies within the camp. Hey, listen, I just became aware of something. Those of you out there, pray for Doug Hagman. Just pray for Doug Hagman. There's something going on that I'm aware of with Doug. It's a pretty heavy burden. So those of you who know Doug and love Doug, listen to Doug, and Doug and Joe are on there together. Just know right now that he's carrying quite a burden. So just keep that in your prayers. All right. Hey, listen, we're going to go back to Chappaqua. Jared, let's pull up the Equal Justice Tour. I want to talk about a couple things here before we get diving into the meat of the show. Anybody else have anything they want to say? Vic's got something he wants to say, but I don't want him to say it yet because it's going to.
I wanted to say that Dave and Cynthia Hawkins, okay, kicked off our DFW, our Dallas and Fort Worth area Salt Light Brigade this past weekend. Had about 12, 13 people. On their first meeting, so I thought that was good. It's we're the hub here, and they're spoke of it, so we're just getting it going, you know. So we just want to try to encourage many people, to let's get together.
You know, Chad, I'm glad you said that, and thank God for Dave and Cynthia for doing it. I was having one of those poor me moments yesterday, and I said, man, this just doesn't seem to be happening fast enough for me. I mean, it's happening, When you think about the reach of what we're doing here, we don't, it's not like we've built a local church and there are 300 of us that come to the local church on Sunday and here in the Hebron area. And it's not like that. Our tentacles go very, very wide and very, very deep. Because of that, I think there's something happening here beyond what we understand is really happening here. And my wife said to me, and she said, because I said something about, man, I went out there, you know, I spent 4 days, 5 days out in Oregon with Tim Tuber and glad to do it. And it was all good. And I said, man, it's just so hard to, man, it's just so hard to help from so far away. And, I need to be there every day and help encourage him and help build that. And I can't do that. And Chad's not there. And we can't do it. And I know this, that without a good leader, these things don't work. And I'm just kind of feeling, woe is me, poor me, yada, yada. You know how it goes. And my wife said, she said, honey, listen, all you can do is go plant that seed and let that thing grow. If they don't make it grow, if the people there don't make it grow, there isn't anything that you can do about it. And I thought, boy, that's really it, isn't it? That really, really is it. And if this whole thing is dependent on me, well, then I'm, that's not what I want to be. That's not what I want it to be about. It's about you and trying to put people around you where you can make a difference. And yes, we have these national things and these big things that we run to. And yes, we're making a bigger difference than we even understand. But we cannot lose sight of what it is it's all about. It's all about truth, justice, and the American way. And standing up for the biblical truth and biblical truth as it applies to the world in which we live and those around us. And standing strong and being the salt of the earth and the light of the world, not backing down and having nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them and to earnestly contend for the faith and to occupy it till he returns. It's all about that. And anything we can do here to try to help you where you are, that's what we're trying to do, okay? So we don't want you to get caught up in events. That's the worst thing that we can do is be focused on events. What's our event this week? What's our event? It's not about events, although we all love them. All of us do. We love events. It's not about events. It can't be about events. We got to keep plugging away right where you live. Don't get discouraged. Keep building that downline right where you are. Well, at some point, we're going to understand what this whole thing's about. There's something happening here. Something's happening. Now, we're going back to Chappaqua. We're working on it. We got a lot of stuff behind the scenes. But I'm going to throw this out for you, just for those of you who are naysayers out there and don't understand. We've decided, when I say we, it's the leadership team. It's not just me. It's Siskavich and Mark Trump and Steve Klein and others that are actively involved in helping with this thing. And I apologize because I've been so busy. I'm not complaining. I've just been busy, man, and I haven't been able to. Gary Pierce, if it wasn't for those guys doing this stuff behind the scenes, much of this wouldn't get done. But here's what we're going to do in Chappaqua. This is why it's important. And we have a conference, a final conference call tonight where we're going to firm up some things. And so we'll have some firm updates for you tomorrow about where to meet us and what we're going to do. And here's the central focus of what we're going to do. Okay. Laugh if you want to. I don't much care. We are going to go to Chappaqua, New York, and we are going to file a formal complaint with Chappaqua Police Department, the County Police Department, maybe even the state. We're not sure. Anyway, we're filing up a police report to call for the indictment of Hillary Clinton. And one of the things that's happened in all of this stuff that we've been going on, we've been looking for the FBI, the CIA, we're looking at all those alphabet numbers in Washington, D.C. for them to do something. When, in fact, the jurisdictional power in this event at 15 Old House Lane, the jurisdictional authority lies with the local police department. There was a felony that took place at 15 Old House Lane. And it's up to the locals to deal with it. So we're going to go and we're going to present our formal complaint and expect the district attorney to get back with us with some kind of response. You say, oh, Coach, you guys are crazy. They ain't going to get back to you. We're boys and girls, then we're going to keep going back to them.
Hey, Coach.
We know that a crime was committed there and nobody has made a formal complaint against them locally, and that's going to be the genesis or the heart of what we do when we go to Chappaqua. Some guys are going to go in on Friday. We're writing up the charges. We're going to go in Friday, and they're going to go to those three, the municipal court. They're going to go to the local court. We're going to go file police reports on Hillary Clinton and what she did at 15 Old House Lane. The stuff that we got from James Comey. Folks, this isn't just for James Comey and the FBI. She committed a felony at 15 Old House Lane. Now, who is the police jurisdiction there? Well, we're going to them, and we're going to make them answer our charges. Come on in, Paul.
So I'm going to try to interrupt you, but you know, you're kind of calling their bluff because they're doing the same thing to Trump in New York State. They're going after him as well. So in many ways, you're calling their bluff.
We're not only that.
I mean, I'm not saying you're bluffing, but I'm just saying they're doing the same thing to Trump.
We're going to leave.
It's pointing both ways, right?
We're going to leave a paper trail. Hey, Chad, come in here as Mr. Cop. What happens, Chad, if I come up to you and I file a former, you're driving down the road, you're a police officer, and you're driving down the road and I pull you over and say, officer, this man back here, this car just flew by me, they pulled me over, and they stole money out of my car. What's your job, Chad?
Well, at that time, you know, then we conduct investigation. We already have, you know, in Hillary's case, we already have that done. But then have somebody come in, that you file a complaint, and then I'll go over there and handcuff the person, and then we go.
Okay, Chad, so do you think there's been a formal complaint filed against her in Chappaqua, New York? Does anybody think that the local police have been made aware of this?
Absolutely. Well, no complaint has been filed. That's what I'll say.
That's right. Has a complaint been filed under the county? Well, I believe they have a county sheriff there, right? Or they may have called something else. Do you think there's been a formal complaint filed to the county sheriff there up in Newcastle area?
Nobody's filed anything.
Nobody's filed anything? So therefore, the attorney general of the state, whatever, the prosecuting attorney in that county, has he been forced to look at anything and investigate anything?
Westchester County Superior Court.
All right, but they haven't been forced to do anything, have they, Matt?
No, they haven't. They haven't. Neither has the police department. The police department has to receive the information, and the county prosecutor of Westchester County has to receive that information. And once they do, they are held responsible to act upon that complaint.
So therefore, then, Matt, once we see, we're asking them, right? When we went to 15 Old House Lane before, we said, ask them to arrest her. Well, they didn't even charge us. What do you mean? They don't even know what's going on, right? So we're going to file formal charges against Hillary Clinton in Chappaqua, New York, Newcastle, New York. And what's the county? What's the county, Matt?
Westchester County.
We're going to file formal complaints. And then we're going to see what happens. See, we will have created a paper trail. And then we can call back, say, what's happened with this? What's happened with this? Start a process where we can appeal to a higher court. Because you say, Coach, that isn't going to work. Well, what's your plan? Because we think it will force some people to do something.
Amen.
Put that pressure on them. They're not going to do it.
Hey, right, Coach. Here's the skinny coach.
The charges in. They wouldn't have to be beholden to anything. But now the charges are in. We did our job. Now they must do their bloody job.
That's exactly right. And then we keep the pressure on the prosecuting attorney. What you got going on there? They can't deny the evidence, can they? Can they deny the evidence where the FBI said, here's the evidence? We have the statutes that they violated. They can't deny the evidence. Are they going to prosecute it or not? Because remember, James Comey said there wasn't a reasonable prosecutor. There wasn't a reasonable prosecutor that would prosecute it or something along those lines. Well, we're going to find one.
Coach, what he was saying is that there's no prosecutor that's crazy enough to go against the witch of Benghazi.
There
because
you go,
he knows that the inevitable is that he's either going to get a curse, he's going to get vexed, or he's going to get knocked off. Now, the thing that you want to do, the other part that I was going to say is that it's about Miss Prison. So if the sheriff in Westchester County doesn't get his stuff together, then we do a recall because he's the most powerful legal entity there in Westchester County. He's got to come up. Otherwise, we take him down with Miss Prison, a dereliction of his duties.
It's the first hook in him, isn't it, Vic? It's the first hook where we're going to make somebody in that community responsible. It's the first hook.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
So we would love for you to come. Yes, we're going to be on the streets. Yes, we're going to hold a rally. Most of it's going to be done during Saturday. We're going to update this website. We will have it updated tomorrow, where to meet us, what to bring, all that kind of stuff. And the focus on this one is we're going to let everybody up there in Chappaqua, New York, in Newcastle and Westchester County know that a formal, not indictment, but formal charges have been filed. We have filed formal charges against Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, that's you're right. Filing what's called a complaint and affidavit. That's what you got to do. And then the prosecutor will then either accept those charges or not. And that's how it's going to go.
Yeah. That's a good start.
You know, is Roger in the queue? I think he's in the queue. Roger, I hope you're listening. You know that the first thing that they're going to do at any level is inform you that she has been exonerated and she cannot be further prosecuted for what she's been exonerated for. But in my understanding, then exoneration has to come through the result of a trial, and she has never been tried. Am I right, Roger?
Larry, there's never been a trial.
She's not been.
She can't be exonerated without a charge having been filed. Come on in, Roger. What do you think?
Oh, no, I like the concept. I think ultimately, if they turn you down, you ask them, okay, if you're not doing this, who is? You know, if you're not doing this, who is?
Who cleared her?
Or who cleared her? You know, where do we go next to pursue this? If you're not pursuing it, who is and where do we go next?
And can we add their name? Can we add their name of people complicit to protect her if they're not going to pursue her?
Amen. Exactly. You call out the people who they're just as responsible. They're not going to do anything. They're just as responsible for her purpose.
Amen.
They're in the way of justice, right? They're in the way of justice.
This is the whole.
They're going to say.
Go ahead, Vic.
They're going to say that James Comey exonerated her, but this guy's being threatened to go to jail. So that pebble or that stone that they were hiding behind, it doesn't exist. He doesn't even work for the government.
No, and listen, you cannot exonerate somebody who hasn't been charged.
He wasn't a judge. He wasn't a jury. There was no one. He was in the line of gathering information, but he wasn't.
He was operating way outside of his scope, wasn't he?
That's right. He's an FBI. He's in a Federal Bureau of Investigation. He cannot charge you with any not charge. That's the Department of Justice, whether they would bring up charges. Same thing with the local. The sheriffs will receive the complaint, but it's up to the DA. Just like what happened up there in Chicago with that Jesse guy. It was the DA or the attorney general who shot down and did not bring charges, and it pissed off the police department. So the sheriff will receive the complaint, but then the pressure has to go to the DA in order to file the complaint to bring charges to the courts.
Amen, Dale. Hey, Jared, pull up real quickly while we're throwing this back and forth. I don't want to turn this into a legal debate. Pull up the one that says Hillary stuff. Fox News, did you guys know this? Of course you didn't know this. This is why you turn into Coach Dave Live, because you'll find that nobody else brings to the table. Jared's throwing it up on the table right now. How many of you know this? Lisa Page admitted the Obama DOJ ordered a stand down on Clinton email prosecution. In other words, Obama said, stop it. Stop it. Stop the investigation of Hillary Clinton. She was never exonerated. Never exonerated. Now, this is a report. It's a couple years old, I think, or maybe a year old. This is a paper tiger just waiting. It's just waiting to be March 13th.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
I don't know if you remember, but you remember back when Anthony Weiner was in trouble and all that was happening, and the New York NYPD had his laptop?
Right.
They're getting ready to do something, but then Obama threatened him with federal prosecution for criminal complaint, you know, basically police brutality and stuff like that. And so they backed off.
Because the left owns the court. See, that's why I started out with John Roberts, talking about John Roberts today. If you think John Roberts is clean, if you think any of those people sitting on that court are clean, if you think see, folks, listen, one of the things that we know that President Obama did, they had a process called the Hammer, I think was the name of it. From the time Obama got in power, they began to collect data and information on everybody. They spied on everybody. So they know they have stuff on all of their enemies. How do you think Hillary Clinton got into such a position of authority? She has something on everybody. That's what's
hey, Coach. On. Coach David Horowitz, he wrote a real good article on how President Trump has to proceed. because he's they're talking about all these judges. They don't have the footing to go and do what they're doing. They're out of line. And he laid down a very good strategy so that the POTUS or his office adopts it. Steve Miller, or whoever, they can take down all these judges. Now, right there, that's where we're watching if the POTUS is being coy or what. But he has to go ahead. You know, the president can't jump on everything. He has to study it. He has to make sure that it'll stick. With a lot of these things that he's going with against the illegals, he has to make sure it sticks. That's why he's letting all these guys comment, like the judges, and saying all the stuff that they're saying, because he has to let it play out. He has to make them commit.
Okay, listen, folks. I don't get hung up on Hillary Clinton. We're going to Chappaqua. We would love for you to come. Okay, we're going to gather. I'll just give you just a nuts and bolts of it here. We're going to gather at the Walmart parking lot, just like we did last time. We're going to gather at that same Walmart parking lot at 10 o'clock on Saturday morning. Wherever you're coming from, that's where you're going to come. And we're going to head to Chappaqua about noon. Now, remember, these charges will have already been filed the day before. So the message that we're going to be relaying to people in there is that we filed charges. We have filed charges. We're going to get that buzz going up in Chappaqua that we have filed charges. We want Hillary indicted. And so we're going to do that. Then about noon, we're going to move into the city of Chappaqua. We're going to do some events while we're in the city of Chappaqua there for most of the day. And then essentially, those of you who are close, if you want to, you can go home. Those of you who want to stay another night, we're going to do another outreach on Sunday morning. But if you can just, those of you who are close out there, if you can just drive in for Saturday, just give us Saturday. Get up in the morning, drive to, listen, if you were, let's say you're 6 hours away, you could get in your car and you could drive, you could leave your home at 6 o'clock in the morning and be at Chappaqua with us, or hey, leave at 5:30 in the morning and join us at the Walmart parking lot. And you can be with us, and you can stay with us for 3 or 4 hours, and you can drive back home, and your day will have been over. This is not this hard to do. Come on, this isn't hard to do. By the way, it doesn't matter how many show up. We're not basing this on how many show. We're basing this on we're having nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but we're rather exposing them, right? We're going for equal justice. And as many of you who can come will be good, but if you can't, it doesn't matter. We are still going to go, and we're still going to do it, okay? Now, I would ask you this. If you can make it, just text us or email us. Coach will be there. We'll be there. We've heard from a bunch of people that are going to be there. And so, if traveling and all that kind of stuff is a burden for you, you let me know. We'll try to figure out a way that we can help you get there. But we got a good contingent coming from Maine. We got them coming from everywhere again. And if you're in the Ohio area and you want to ride out with me, get a hold of me, and I'll give you a meeting point. We're going to rent some cars again, and we're going to drive out there. And, yeah, we're going to put shoe polish on the cars. Yeah, we're going to do all that stuff again. But we're going to continue. We're going to keep the pressure on. Cool? I'm going to switch gears. Any more comments at all? I got to do one more thing. Hey, Jared, show this. Show the video, the Klein video. We're working on a series of – here's our biggest issue, guys, girls, boys, men, women. Distribution. We've got a lot of good stuff. Don't play it yet, Jared. You go to our Facebook page, Equal Justice Tour. Man, there's all kinds of great information on there. All kinds of great information. You know what our problem is? Every time we post a good video like the one you're going to see, they pull it down. We're having videos made because we know that understand the power of this medium. We're having other videos that are made. And our problem is what? Where are we going to put it? Because Facebook will pull it down. YouTube will pull it down. Vimeo will pull it down. We're battling Alex Jones was right. It's an info war. It's an information war. And we have some other great videos that we can play, but I just want you to watch this 2-minute one that we've got prepared for Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, whole thing. And they pulled it down the moment we put it up. Go ahead, Jared.
And the second time he tries to kiss me, starts biting on my lip.
What difference at this point does it make?
Just a minute. He starts to bite on my top lip, and I try to pull away from him. And then he forces me down on the bed.
What difference at this point does it make?
And this was very frightened. And I tried to get away from him, and I told him no. I didn't want this to happen. He wouldn't listen to me.
What difference at this point does it make?
Is there any way at all that Bill Clinton could have thought this was consensual?
No. Not with what I told him and with how I tried to push him away. It was not consensual.
You're saying that Bill Clinton sexually assaulted you, that he raped you?
Yes.
Well, now for the first time, I can tell you that you're a disaster.
So this is the first of a series of videos that we're putting together. Unique, hard-hitting. This is the kind of stuff we have to do. Anybody want to comment on that before I move on? They won't show it. They keep pulling it down. We have to put it on a private location right now.
Hey,
they won't
let you get your word out. You know why they keep pulling it down? Because the truth hurts.
Right, brother. We got more coming. Hey, Jared, real quick, I want to encourage you a little bit. Jared, go down to, it says, no homo parade in Turkey. Do you guys see this one? Huh? Here we are, home of the land. What are we? Home of the brave, land of the free, whatever they call us. The Turkish police use tear gas and rubber bullets to disperse a gay pride parade in Istanbul. No gay pride parades in Istanbul. No. Going down, Jared. They ain't bringing that stuff here. It's fifth year in a row they tried to have one. Roll on down, Jared, real quick. This is, by the way, it's Gateway Pundit. Here's a picture. There's the police with rubber bullets getting them off the streets. Not here. He ain't doing it. Right? Police tear gas gay pride marches in Istanbul. Police tear gas gay pride parades in Istanbul. There it is. Ain't going to do it here. Police have reported started using tear gas and plastic bullets against hundreds who gathered for Istanbul Pride. There it is. America won't push back against it. No. We got too much freedom and liberty here, right?
And well, you know who else won't push back against it?
Who's that?
Our good friend Israel. They want to be known as the gay capital, or Tel Aviv wants to be known as the gay capital of the world.
Isn't that something, Paul? Isn't that something? Don't get me going on that one. Jared, one more thing then, because I don't want you to miss this. Look what our Russian friends are doing, Jared. Go to the Russian church. Click on that one. Bet you guys didn't know this. Huh? Russian insider. Astonishing church growth in Russia. Sees record numbers training for the priesthood. Unbelievable Christian growth in Soviet Russia. That makes us nervous, doesn't it? Now, that makes us nervous because we've been raised to believe that it was an evil empire. Right? All that propaganda, go down there. And this, if we're not going to go there. If you continue to read this article, you know what you're going to find? They're talking about President Putin and his conservative Christian agenda. Now, is it a fake? I don't know. I don't know if it is or not. But Christianity is growing in Russia. It is. I'm just curious. Are there gay pride parades in Russia, I wonder? They haven't any? The Russian Orthodox Church is seeing the highest numbers ever training for the priesthood. Highest
hey, Coach,
ever. Yes.
You know where it's not growing?
Where is that, Serge?
Right here, USA.
Hang on in US of A. Serge, I'm glad you came in because, Serge, we just got another transition. Jared, you ready, folks? I'm going to switch gears on. I told you when I got started, I got so much to talk about today. So much. Oh, man, I'm going to forget stuff. I probably something else I should have said and didn't. Hey, Jared, my good buddy Serge sent me an email, a text message. In fact, I'm going to read it, Serge. I know you won't care if I read it. Let me find him here. I got a lot of them there. Serge sent me an email. He said, Coach Dave, I have a question. Was the sinner prayer just made up in the 1930s by Billy Sunday and used by Billy Graham? I'm listening to Steve from Think About It, and that's what he says. Is that true? If so, I need to stop using that lie. No hurry, wherever you have time. I appreciate it. Thank, brother. When you find the sinner's prayer in the Bible, did they use the sinner's prayer in the book of Acts? So Serge sent me that. I was thinking, Serge, I don't think so, Serge. And what did I find there? Jared, click at the bottom. It says sinner's prayer and then that link right under it. You're sitting down. Another one of these things we've been trained to believe. Just come and receive Christ into your heart. Just say, come on, let's invite Jesus in. Come and invite Jesus in. This is a Christian courier. The sinner's prayer is a biblical. Scroll down a second, Jared. Preachers often tell lost people that they need to pray the sinner's prayer. Exactly what is the sinner's prayer? Is this prayer biblically based? And if not, where the heck did it come from? The so-called sinner's prayer is a popular phenomenon in Protestant circles. In fact, you got to tell Catholics, they don't even know what you're talking about. It is employed at the conclusion of various denominational revival services and appeals to convince sincere people to get saved. It frequently is found at the ending of religious tracts or in books urging folks to repeat these words from the bottom of your heart. Yeah? So the sinner's prayer takes various forms, all of which are for the same general thrust. Here's one of them. Here's the sinner's prayer. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner and I deserve to go to hell. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I do now receive him as Lord and personal Savior. I promise to serve you to the best of my ability. Please save me in Jesus' name. Amen. So here's the following observations concerning this prayer that we just read. Is the sinner's prayer found in the New Testament? Well, the sentiments of this prayer are not found anywhere in the literature of the New Testament as it pertains to an alien sinner's responsibility under the law of Christ. Careful study of the conversions in the book of Acts will reveal that not a single instance is the lost sinner instructed or encouraged to pray for his or her salvation. Rather, those honest souls who long for redemption were admonished to believe on the Lord, to repent of their sins, and be immersed for forgiveness of their sins in order to enjoy a relationship with Christ and enter his spiritual body. But what about Acts 2:21? Some claim that Acts 2:21 is proof text that the so-called sinner's prayer. Okay, so let's compare that and see. And it shall be that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Acts 2:21. And Peter said unto them, repent ye and be baptized for every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's Acts 2:38. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on his name. That's Acts 22:16. The claim that Acts 2:21 provides the authority for the sinner's prayer is baseless. The call contemplated in this passage was fulfilled when penitent sinners surrendered to the terms of the gospel's plan for redemption, explicitly announced later on in the same occasion. The forgiveness of sins, Acts 2:38, is the equivalent of saved. Accordingly, the call of verse Act 21 is obviously a generic term which embraces the repent and be immersed, which is commanded of believers in the book of Acts. Moreover, this calling obedience connection is further established in Acts 22:16, that the very act of submitting to the Lord's command to be immersed is a manifestation of calling of his name. Saying, Lord, Lord, is not enough. Scripture elsewhere makes it very clear that the mere act of calling out the Lord's name in an attempt to access divine mercy in the absence of obedience is an exercise in futility. Jesus said in Matthew 7, not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he who does, present tense, persistently does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Again, the Savior pointedly inquired, and why do you call me Lord and not do the things that I say? Pretty thick, isn't it, boys? Prayer is an avenue for communication between a child of God and his heavenly Father. The model prayer begins, our Father in heaven. One becomes a child of the Father by means of being born again. Remember how many times have we talked about that here? Not everybody's a child of God. Saul's prayers didn't save him. Saul of Tarsus prayed for 3 days after arriving in the city of Damascus. yet his sins were not washed away until he was immersed in water in obedience to divine commands. If there ever was a cause of the sinner's case of the sinner's prayer being exercised, surely this was it. Yet his prayers did not avail in removing his sins. Let me stop right here a minute. Michelle and I had this discussion yesterday as we were discussing this. Do you have to be baptized to be saved? I'm not going to dive too deep in that. I'm going to say this. If you've been saved, you should be baptized. I'm going to say that. And you know, when we'd go to hear the watchman, we do our events here, we baptize adults. We baptize adults. Because I believe that I was baptized as a young child. But once I received Christ, I wasn't baptized. Did that old one, that old sprinkling, did that count? I don't know. So I was baptized again. I encourage you, I don't want to get into a debate here, okay? We're talking about the sinner's prayer, but I would encourage you, if you haven't been baptized, let's get you baptized. Don't have to be a minister, not to be anybody. Somebody can take you down the river, baptize you. You guys have seen us do that before. Okay, so where did the sinner's prayer come from? The sinner's prayer model probably evolved in some form or another in the early days of the Protestant Reformation movement as a misguided reaction against the Roman Catholic dogma of justification by means of works. The Catholic Church believes in a works gospel, okay? So the ones who broke away from the Catholic Church said, it's not works. Works are evidence of faith. They don't score you any points. For example, Jacobus Faber, who's been called the father of the French Reformation, though he never formally left the Catholic Church, wrote a commentary on the epistles of Paul in 1512. There were 5 years before Luther's break with the Roman Catholic Church in Germany. And in his volume, Faber argued that justification is obtained through faith without works. So on and on and on down through. So here, I'm trying to answer Serge's question. Undoubtedly, many who offer the sinner's prayer are exceedingly sincere. Sincerity alone, however, is not unavailing. You just can't sincerely say the prayer. There are requirements to salvation. Sorry, there's requirements. And how many people are walking in churches today who said the sinner's prayer and are not really saved? Come on in, Roger.
I was just going to say, and I don't know, I think this is biblically foundationally okay, but if you are born again, you would want to be baptized. Your Savior got baptized.
Amen.
He directed others to be baptized. I believe a person who is reluctant to get baptized, I think it raises a lot of questions. That's how I would view it. I don't know.
He commanded us to be baptized, Roger. Yeah. He commanded us.
Yeah. I don't believe that baptism is directly tied to salvation. However, boy, if you're saved and born again, you want to be baptized. You would desire it.
That's right. Now, Roger, hang on just a second, Larry. People will say the thief on the cross wasn't baptized, and Jesus said unto him, this day you'll be with me in paradise. He did say that. But it seemed to me like that thief on the cross didn't have the opportunity to be baptized.
Well, yeah. He
certainly repented. He certainly repented. They weren't going to let him off. He was baptized in blood, maybe. They weren't going to let him off that one. So that doesn't wash me. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, you know, there are a couple of verses that really jump out here. One is in John 9:31. It says, now we know that God heareth not sinners. God doesn't even hear that sinner's prayer. And that's what's backed up Isaiah 9:2. It says,
that's a mic drop. Hang on a minute, Larry. That's a mic drop. That's John. Where is that, Larry?
That's John 39:31. John 9:31.
John 9:31.
Yeah.
Now we know that God heareth not sinners.
That's backed up from old scripture in Isaiah 59:2. It says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that
Amen.
He will not hear.
Okay, so now we know that God hears not sinners'
prayers.
But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he hears. Wow.
And the doeth his will is the key there. That's part of that faith toward God. Faith is substance and what do they call faith in Hebrews chapter 11? The substance of things not seen, the evidence, substance and evidence. Faith is something that can be seen and touched. If that faith does not, if your so-called faith does not result in actions toward God, God doesn't hear words. God hears action. He sees.
Folks, listen, Larry, I'm reading on here. It says, since the verse 32, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was blind? 33, if this man were not of God, he could do nothing. You have to be of God to invoke his power. Wow.
Hey, Coach, you know, in that Matthew chapter 7, 24, it says, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, and over they'll call. But right. Romans chapter 10, 9, and 10 says, if a man confesses with his mouth or calls, but it says, and then believeth in his heart, the word believeth and the word faith, both is pistis and pistos, which is a moral conviction in a holy God, the profession in that, and a continual walk in that. So, brother, there's many John, who call.
Not just an emotional response. It's when the pastor made a call and you walked
in there. It has to be sincere, brother. It has to be within the heart. When a person goes in to adopt a child, they're going to adopt the child where there's a connection, where there is a sincere, a realty. And so we're adopted in the family of God. We don't choose God. The adoption is made by the one who is adopting. God chooses us.
I went to the altar. I wept at that altar. Mike, my heart was rent at that altar. And I left there a new man. That happened to
because
me.
You believe, you didn't just confess with your mouth, your heart. You believe your heart was changed, brother. That's where it's at.
Boy, there it is. Look, folks.
And you're confessing.
There you go, Serge. You got to confess with your mouth. You got to believe with your heart. Come on in.
Now your confession has to have that sincerity that Dale was talking about. And sincerity has to be followed up by actions that can be seen as evidence.
I'm telling you guys, you got to do the Greek search on the word faith and on the word believing, and you will see that it has this moral conviction in a holy God, a profession in the holiness of God, and a continual walk in the holiness of God.
Amen. Would this explain to us why so many people go to church aren't saved? Go ahead, Alan.
Hey, Coach, I'm going to tell you something. Just uttering a few words without snot running down to your knee, like you said, at an old-fashioned altar is just a bunch of words. I'm going to tell you this. How important is baptism? All the disciples, they all baptized in Jesus' name. And the ones that got baptized under John's baptism, they got rebaptized in Jesus' name. So it's pretty important. And I believe this. I believe if some kind of sealing comes on, a seal of approval from God when we do get baptized. Especially, you know, the main thing is, Coach, we got to really realize and understand what baptism really means. That old man's dead and in the grave. We're not running out here doing the things we used to do before we went to that altar with snot running down to our knee.
Right, man. That's right.
Hey, Coach,
and Coach, I'm going to tell you.
Water baptism, and Larry, you should look this up. If for a Muslim, for them to renounce Allah and they go towards Christianity, When somebody like in Turkey or Iran, when they are then water baptized, brother, there is a hit put out on that person. Something about water baptism in the Muslim faith. Oh, they will go after you to kill you.
So tell Craig, you tell Tommy, maybe I need to baptize him today. Craig's brought a guy with him from Missouri. Stay in here,
Coach.
We need to baptize him today. Yes. Yes, Vic.
Amen, Coach. Amen.
What about Matthew 3:11?
Matthew 3:11?
Yeah. Let me get closer to this thing right here. It says I indeed baptize you in water unto repentance, but that he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire.
Oh, Vic, I guess I'm going to have, you know, about 6 or 7 months ago, I was going to do that teaching on the Holy Spirit, baptism in the Holy Spirit. I think maybe I need to do that, Vic.
Hey, Vic.
Sir.
You know, it's no surprise to me that one of the fundamental principles of Christ, as mentioned in Hebrews 6, verses 1 and 2, is instruction about baptisms, plural.
Mm. Larry, I hate it when you do that, because it makes me
and
curious.
Water baptism is our first act of obedience. And what is it that God desires more than our sacrifice? Our obedience. And water baptism is that first step of faith. You don't have to understand it. You have to obey God and submerge yourself in it.
Amen.
Hey, Coach, think about it. The disciples, as soon as they got somebody saved, they got baptized right then. They didn't wait 30 days and let's get 90 right. people together. They stilled them up right then.
Well, Alan, we don't have to do that anymore because we can believe in our hearts. We can receive Christ. We can believe in our hearts. We can put Jesus on. So we don't have to do that. That's all old-fashioned stuff. We don't have to do that anymore.
Just, well, I'm going to tell you something. That's why our churches are eat up with a bunch of cancer it's eat up with, Coach.
Yep.
That's justification. That's what that is. I justify Jesus.
Folks, you know I love this show. I just love this show because of it. I just love the giving, the taking, the feedback. I just love this show. I love this show. Can I switch gears on you just real quick on another biblical topic that I'm going to leave you? Maybe we'll pick this up more tomorrow. This is right up Mark Trump's alley, by the way. But I was reading this with my wife yesterday. Jared, turn to Genesis. Boy, Lord, help me here, Lord. Help me not. Just help me, Lord. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was void. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Yeah, stop right there, man. When God said, let there be light, where was the darkness? I'm just thinking. Jared, go back to verse 2.
On the face of the deep.
And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light. Said, man, that's good. And he said, there's still that darkness is still there. So God divided the light from the darkness. Amazing, isn't it? Stay with me. I'm going somewhere. Yep. And he called the light the day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning was the first day. And I want to explain this to you again, as I always do. God always moves from darkness to light. The day begins in the evening. The day begins in the evening. Not when you get up in the morning. That's not the beginning of the day. The beginning of the day is sundown. When it gets dark is the beginning of the day. Well, I know we don't think that way, but this is what this very clearly says. The evening and the morning were the first day.
It went from dark to light. Quick note. The sun and moon aren't in the sky yet. That's day four. You got day and night. And you don't have a sun and moon yet. Day one.
Mark, I hate it when we read the Bible and look at it like this, right?
It's outstanding, Coach. This is the glory of God.
God said, let there be a firmament. Imagine firmament's Velcro. Imagine your firmament is Velcro. He's going to stick stuff in the Velcro. And God made the firmament. He divided the water. So there's water above and there's water below. That's happened when the flood had released the water. He divided the waters under the firmament from the waters above the firmament. And so it was. And God called the firmament heaven. Actually, not like heaven, but the heavens. In the evening and the morning were the second day. There it is again. See, the nighttime starts beginning of the next day. So God separates the water. I'm going someplace, okay? The sun's not even here yet, as Mark just said. God let the waters under the heaven be gathered in one place. The dry land appeared, and it was good. God called land and gathering together water seas. God said, it was good. God said, let the earth bring forth grass after its own kind. And that was all good. In the evening and the morning, that was the third day. And then God said, well, let's put some lights up. And let's stick some lights up there in that Velcro. You guys, are you seeing this picture? Do you understand everything that's happened, and there's no sun and there's no moon yet? And God let there be lights in the firmament for the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let there be signs and for seasons, for days, and for years. And let them be for the lights in the firmament for the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. So there was light before there was a sun and a moon. Put that one in your pipe and smoke it. Hang on. I'm heading. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to have time to get to it. I'm going to hurry real through it. Scroll on down, Jared. Scroll on down. He's making all these other things, and it's all working, and it's all good, and God loves it all. Okay, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind, the cattle after the sun, verse 25. And then God said, verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and all over the earth and every creeping thing. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of man, image of God created he man. Male and female, he created him. Okay? And he blessed him, said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. It's all good. Except, let's go real quick, Jared, to verse 7 of chapter 2. I'm going to leave you with this today. We'll leave you pondering. And the Lord God, hey folks, this is not the first, this is quite a ways past that first day. Huh? We're quite a ways down the road here. We don't know how far down the road. But all of a sudden, God formed man of the dust of the ground. Now, do you think that he's talking about the creation that he did back in Genesis 1? Do you think all of a sudden they're telling us about the creation that he did thousands of, however long that would have gone? Could it be that he, could have been, well, stay with me. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Was it possible that the man that God created back in Genesis 1 was a soulless man? Just an animal, just an intelligent animal, above all the dogs and all the cats and all the rats and all that stuff. And then God said, you know what? I'm going to do something different here. I'm going to put a soul inside of a man. He said, let's see what we can do if we get a soul inside him. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his life, and man all of a sudden had a soul and became a soul. And then look what happens next. This stuff, if we just read the Bible, and the Lord God planted a garden. Eden isn't even around yet. He creates man, gives him a soul, and then forms Eden. He took, there had to be some type of man that was here that didn't have a soul. And when God just started, he said, okay, I'm going to create a man with a soul. And when I do that, I'm going to put him in this special place. I'm going to put him in the Garden of Eden. Wow. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant in sight, good for food, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, the knowledge of good and evil didn't work without a soul. You're just animalistic without a soul. You're just maybe a high, just like, you know, some animals are smarter than other animals. Monkeys are smarter than dogs, and dogs are smarter than rabbits, right? It was man just, when God first made man, was man just a smarter man, just a smarter animal? Was he really? And then God came down here. I don't know. I'm asking the question. Because he wouldn't he have said in Genesis 1 that he breathed breath into him and he became a living soul? He didn't talk anything about any of that. Coach, where are you going? I think there's so much that we don't know about the pre-Adamic world. I think it's here, but I think we've been taught the wrong things to believe. I believe that God created, I believe in a six-day creation. I believe in a literal six-day creation.
Hey, Coach.
But I think something was going on before that happened. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Coach, I was just going to say, man, in the early part of the verse where you read God, he separated the light from the dark. As soon as you and I fell in love with Christ, it's time to get all the junk out of our life. It's time to separate ourselves right there, brother.
That's it, baby. There ain't no doubt about it. And that's why we can say right now that, see, God, that the human being is the only one that we see was ever created with a soul. It says it right. No other animal did he breathe life into. See, all the other animals, everything else he created, he just created it. He just spoke it and he created it. But when he came to man, he formed him. Man became a living soul.
That passage of scripture also affirms the Trinity, because he didn't say, I'm going to go down. He said, let us go down. Mm. Let us go down and make man in our, plural, image and in our likeness.
Man, oh man, oh man. I love learning new stuff. Love learning new
stuff. The Muslims hate that verse, brother. They hate that verse.
EqualJusticeTour.com, Equal Justice on Facebook. Make those phone calls. If you can get to Chappaqua, we're going to go file an indictment against Hillary Clinton. God bless you all. We'll see you tomorrow.